Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
In 4:03 here in the afternoon, hour number three of Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. At this hour on Fridays, we're joined by Christopher Gasper of Channel 5. Gasper is powered by the commuter rail. The five-day flex pass has been extended through December 31st. Get five discounted one-day tickets, each good for 24-hour unlimited travel. Perfect for commuting a few days a week. Visit mbta.com/fares and get the flex pass only on the mTicket app. Chris joins us via Zoom today. How you doing, Christopher?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Hi, Chris.
Good to hear from you. So we got a lot to get to. We had two main topics this week, and I know that you've got some insight on both. Why don't we just start with bets? And I guess the question I'll start with you with is, do Red Sox fans, who should they be pissed at when it comes to, you know, Mookie Betts doing what he's doing in the World Series and being a Dodger and all that? Should they be pissed at the team or him or somewhere in between? You know, where should their anger lie?
They should be pissed at themselves for the response to the Adam Jones situation. I mean, I think that had a lot to do with Mookie ultimately not being here. And I think, you know I sent this link to Big Jim when you guys were talking about this the other day, and I was listening.
Hey, Christopher.
But, yes.
Is there a way for you to, whatever your rig is there, can we hold it like a pizza or something? You're sort of going in and out.
Can you make... In and out. Okay. All right. I can try this. Is that better?
Yeah, that's a little better. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. He's using a stupid Bluetooth thing.
Okay, sorry. Who should Sox fans be mad at?
Sure. I think that they should be mad at themselves. And when you look at the situation, the response to the Adam Jones situation, I think that left a mark. And I think that that had something to do with Mookie Betts not being here any longer. And again, I sent something to Big Jim the other day that was, remember the story that Peter Abraham did with David Price? And it was after Price's first season here. And Price was talking about being harangued while warming up in the bullpen and admitted that some of the taunts he received were racial in nature. So I think those two things really had something to do with Mookie Betts not being here long term.
Okay, so when you say response to the Adam Jones thing, meaning people not believing Adam Jones, or you know, you got to prove it. You know, no one heard anyone say anything, and so that sort of pushback is what you're saying.
All of that, and I can tell you that the African American players on the team at the time went to management and said that they had heard this stuff before, both aimed at players on the team, which I think we extrapolate, you're probably talking about Price, and opposing players. So I definitely think that had something to do with the end of the day. And look, I've been saying to you guys for a while that I did not think Mookie ultimately was going to be here. Here's the thing. I know some of the baseball beat writers, like, he's never said this. He doesn't have to put a flashing sign on the Southeast Expressway saying he doesn't want to stay here for you to understand that this was not where he wanted to be long term. You guys know what I believe. Actions speak louder than words in sports. And I think in this case, the idea he wasn't looking to spend the rest of his career here rooted in some other things was pretty obvious, and pretty obvious from the actions. And if he wanted to potentially make it work here, all he had to do was go to the Sox and say, don't trade me. I don't want to go to LA. Let's talk. We can work this out. And I know one Michael Felger has some information that they even met his number. And he said, no, thanks.
So that's what my guy said. Yeah.
So Chris, when you say that those guys went to the team, meaning Bradley, yeah. Price, Betts himself.
Chris Young was on the team at the time.
Okay, good. Yeah. So were did they feel the team didn't respond well?
No, I don't think that's true. I think that basically they were sort of corroborating that they had heard this at Fenway Park before, and they were sort of corroborating Adam Jones. I think the team's response was good. I mean, the team apologized, but the overall environment, whether it be certain sports talk radio stations or certain groups of fans, to sort of reflexively go into the defend the city mode and prove it to me and I need to hear it with the foghorn or it didn't happen. I think that left a mark. I think that definitely left a mark, along with the idea of, now remember, if Mookie Betts stays here, he's going to be one of the highest paid players in baseball. And I think he saw the treatment that Price got as a high profile, highly paid African-American player. And I think he looked at that as well.
Hey, Chris,
because those two are close. Yes,
Chris, I this material is so good. And I just can't stand it. It's on such a bad connection. We're going to hang up and try and reboot, reset the thing, okay, and see if it sounds any better. So just you and Jimmy do your thing. And we'll just, you know, I want to pick up on this. So Chris is saying that the response to the Adam Jones thing is what got him out. Not the Adam Jones thing in and of itself, you know, some knucklehead chant, you know, shouting something to him from center field. And what he's talking about is EEI, like sort of fighting the thing about, well, no one heard it, you know, prove it, like that response. Which, again, I'm not going to tell Adam Jones how to feel. But if it's just talk radio stuff, like, I don't know, do you have the right to say to Mookie Betts, well, the team has your back. The team's doing all the right things. Your teammates are doing all the right things. The organization's heart is in the right place. And so it's just, you know, stupid talk radio. It's us. It's like that drives you out of town.
Yeah, but they're also, maybe it's that they're the rights holder and he looked at them as maybe as a branch of the team.
You shouldn't do that. So that's on him. They're not a branch of the team. They're allowed to say what they feel or
want. No, I know. But I'm just saying maybe that's something that went through his mind. I don't know.
I mean, it feels to me like he just wasn't comfortable in the city. Like, again, because if we want to pin it on one, you know, one show or one, when you say the response.
I mean, to me, it's just not good enough.
No, it tells me that the city in his mind reflected something that he didn't like. And so that's how I take it. Because, again, to react over the actions of one or a few is foolish. But if you think there's an inherent problem there, like there's a core problem in the city, then you're out. Like, to me, that I can't imagine that it was anything else than that. If it was something less than that, it's, you know, so what? Every idiot that comes along now, that's the reason you're going to leave? You do that, you're never going to stay anywhere. Because we all know there's one in every town. You know, there's more than one. Hell, there's three of us right here, for crying out loud. You know, not that we're on that level. But the whole idea is, to me, he didn't believe that it was a place where he could live comfortably. So he was out.
And so he took that to represent Boston.
That's how I would interpret that he took that to represent Boston, correct.
Okay.
And look, you know, again, I mean, the city has a past. And so some of that will never go away, as much as people like myself think that the city has made progress and it's, you know, come a certain ways. There are certain guys that will never believe that. And I can't tell them they're wrong. I don't know. Like you've said, I mean, I'm a white guy that grew up in Watertown and Waltham. So
I can't tell him how to feel. I've never been in his shoes. So like, that's sort of how I feel about that. But you know, that's tough. And so that sort of goes back to, again, if you're the Red Sox and you're getting hammered right now, hammered for letting this guy go, for trading this guy, for not paying this guy, you're being called cheap and all those things. And if you actually met his number, you know, why would you allow that to go on? Why would you allow that narrative to be out there that you cheaped out on Mookie Betts when you didn't, when you were actually willing to meet his number? Why would you allow that? And the answer is, better to be called cheap than unwelcoming to African-Americans or racist or whatever.
Correct.
And so there's that choice. And that's, you know, again, whether my brown check mark is right or not, my brown meaning it could be crap, whether my guy was right or not, what you know struck with me with that conversation was that piece to it. The you know, the Red Sox maybe potentially having to make a choice. We're going to get hammered for this for one thing or another. And you got to pick your poison. Would you rather be called cheap or a place that's inhospitable to young star athletes or young star African-American athletes? And, you know, the decision that, well, we can handle the cheap thing. We can, well, we'd rather have that than the other thing. And that's, like, you know, interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take cheap every time in that one. I will, because, again, and you said this yesterday, I thought it was a good way to put it. The cheap thing, you can overcome that. I mean, let's just, you know, off the top of my head, I'm trying to think of whoever. Mookie Betts is a free agent. He says he wants to come to Boston. Okay, and that's a bad example, but you get the idea.
Marcus Stroman.
Okay, Marcus Stroman.
Who's available this offseason.
And he says, well, you know, I don't know. I heard you guys are cheap. Well, Marcus, tell us what you get, and we'll match anything everybody's given. You can fix that one right away.
Buy your way out of that.
Absolutely
easy.
You can. No question about it. You can even say to the agent ahead of time, hey, look, if this is what he's hearing, let me just tell you point blank, we will match or beat anything out there.
Yeah, because that stain of cheapness is temporary. You can make that go away. That other thing, good luck.
Right, well, that one is sewn in. Hard to get rid of that. That's like a birthmark.
How are we doing with Chris? Any better?
He's rebooting right now. The irony is Chris and I gossiped for about 10 minutes and had no issues.
Oh, of course. Of course. So the other thing I would say, when Chris comes back, I want to ask him, I wish Mookie Betts would, you know, talk about it and, you know, lend some clarity to it. I understand why he doesn't want to, because then you're in the middle of it. And if he thought that the response to Adam Jones was vicious or bad or wrong, the response to him actually then going all the way with it would be even worse. And he doesn't want to be that guy. He don't want to be in the middle of it. Doesn't want to go back and forth on it. Doesn't want to be the guy. Like, I get it. I feel you. And so, like, I understand why he wouldn't want to. But selfishly, I wish he did. And then we wouldn't have the speculation. Did the Red Sox meet the number or not? Was it your choice or was it theirs? The Red Sox are happy to take the hit right now. It was our choice, not his. Because they thought that the PR hit would be worse if everyone knew it was his choice. So it becomes our choice, and you can tell us we were right or wrong, but it was us, not him. But if Mookie Betts could lend some clarity to that, then we don't have to speculate. Brown checkmark, blue checkmark, we get, you know, straight from the horse's mouth, and he lets people know. I wish he did that. I wish he could do that. I don't think he wants any part of it, and I don't blame him.
Well,
I mean, he wouldn't even, those guys wouldn't speak up during the Adam Jones thing.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to get in the middle of it and hear the blowback.
Yeah. I mean, I there was a real reluctance at that time, if I remember right, and maybe Chris will set me straight and tell me that there were some comments made. I remember Betts in particular being very sort of, I'm not getting in the middle of this. And so, look, it's if that's the reality of it, and all I can tell you is this, I felt all along he didn't want to really engage with the Red Sox. And he's entitled to do whatever he wants. It just felt to me like the guy did not have interest in signing a long-term deal here. You don't go through that whole thing, 5 years, lots of talks, and never really be willing to come the other way unless you want to leave. I mean, I think usually when a guy wants to make a deal, you give a little ground. And he didn't do that. And look, the Red Sox were behind on the thing from the beginning. But I'd be willing to bet that by the end of it, and when I say that, I don't have any inside info. Okay, I don't. But I'd be willing to bet that when they got to the end of it, they just said, okay, well, you know what? Then you help us, we'll help you, we'll find a spot for you. And, you know, even if you want to put your agent in touch with someone and we think we have the framework for a deal to make sure that they can sign you, we'll do that.
Okay, we'll get Casper back, follow up on Betts, get his thoughts on the Pats this week, right after these words.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Chris Gasper, Channel 5. We have him back again just in the first segment, talking about the Mookie Betts thing. And Chris believes that the reaction to the Adam Jones incident in center field in Fenway Park. And what year was that? What year?
2018.
I believe that was 2017.
2017, I think is right.
2017, that the response to the Adam Jones incident is what helped sour Mookie Betts on Boston. Chris, how come Mookie Betts won't put his voice to that then, now, or do you believe he will in the future? How come he won't speak about it?
I mean, well, he sort of put his voice to what's happening, you know, across America and in sports right now. There's a commercial that MLB has with the words of Jackie Robinson that he narrated. Being there the day after that happened at Fenway Park, he did not, he talked to a bunch of media members. I was among the media members, but it was after batting practice, Matt. You would know this. Basically, it was no cameras, not in the clubhouse. He didn't talk in the clubhouse. Jackie Bradley Jr. did. Chris Young did. He spoke after, you know, batting practice, or really during it, to a very small group of reporters. So I think for some of those guys, including Mookie, they felt like it's a no win. You know, if you come out and support Adam Jones, do your own fans turn on you? Or do you lie and say you've never heard any of this stuff at Fenway to placate your own fans? And then he got to hear from Adam Jones and CeCe Sabathia and some of the other guys in MLB that, you know, have said they've heard this stuff before.
You know, never mind his teammates, which I think you mentioned. I said before, I don't know if you had dropped or not. It's clear he and Bradley, you know, they weren't really vocal about it during that time. I mean, they spoke, but I don't really remember them being, you know, particularly strong on it. And I can see why. I mean, because if there was just blowback from the Adam Jones thing, what's the blowback going to be from them then actually stepping in the middle of the thing? And if they were reluctant to put their voice to it then, I can see why Mookie Betts would be reluctant to get into it now. I mean, that's even a bigger bomb to say, yeah, I didn't want to play there because I thought the city was this, that, or the other. And then there's, you know, then he's really in the middle of the thing, which would make it easier for us. Less speculation, cleaner sort of, topic, if you will. But I can see why he doesn't want to do it. It would just be nice if he did for us.
I think he's been a lot more, take Boston out of it, but just in general, and when it comes to sort of the racial reckoning in America, he's been way more outspoken with that stuff than he ever was in Boston since he joined the Dodgers. I mean, if you follow him at all and the Dodgers at all, I think he's been a lot more active on social media. He's been a lot more outspoken. This commercial he did with Major League Baseball, you know, the words of Jackie Robinson, and the whole point with Jackie Robinson is basically saying, you know, I never had, as a black man in America, I never had it made. And that's part of Jackie Robinson's biography. And it's Mookie talking, basically narrating those words. So he's been a lot more outspoken. I will say the day after, I do remember Jackie Bradley being pretty outspoken about it, being there in the clubhouse. Maybe that didn't resonate with people the same way, but I do remember him being pretty outspoken and answering the questions and talking about how hurtful it was.
Okay, so I again, forgive me for not remembering it. You were also saying that Betts was put off by the treatment of David Price.
Well, I mean, put off might be strong, but just look at it from Mookie's standpoint. Here's David Price, high profile, highly paid African-American athlete playing for the Red Sox. And David Price, he brought some of the stuff on himself. But the first year he was here, if you listen to sort of the critiques and the criticism, I mean, you would have thought he was Matt Young for old school Red Sox fans. He won 17 games. The ERA was under four, barely, but under four. He led the league in games started and innings pitched. It wasn't like it was an abysmal season. Now he got his face ripped off in the playoffs. But then, and I'll just say this, the next year Chris Sale came here. He pitched better. He definitely pitched better. But he won 17 games, led the American League in innings pitched, and then got his face ripped off twice in the postseason. And it wasn't nearly the same response.
So you think that was racial with David Price?
I think there was an element to it. I think if you are a high-profile, outspoken, highly paid African-American athlete, that sometimes you're going to get a little bit more scrutiny playing for the Red Sox than the Josh Beckett, Chris Sale, you know, sort of self-deprecating. Oh, yeah, you know, I pitched really poorly. You know, no one's more disappointed than myself, sort of, you know, guy that goes hunting and fishing.
I think we hammer everybody. I mean, I think there's, you know, whatever percent of racists exists, so that's that percentage. But I don't think it's beyond that, Chris. Meaning, I don't know, I used earlier this week John Lackey. Like, I feel like we were on that guy from day one to the last day that he was here. And, you know, it wasn't a color of the skin thing. The guy, we didn't like him coming in. We didn't like him going out. And he got it. He got as bad as David Price.
Yeah, for me, though, when Price came here, if you remember that first year, obviously some of it had to do with performance, but it was he's on the internet too much. You know, he cares too much. He's too sensitive. Why is he talking about this? And then it kind of went the other way with like, oh, he doesn't care enough. It seemed like no matter what he did. And then the whole warming up in the bullpen thing that he told Pete Abe and hearing that from his own fans. And remember, before Price came here, he had spoken about on social media getting some things from Red Sox fans that he thought were inappropriate in that regard. So if you're, you know, Mookie, they're both from Tennessee and they have a close relationship and you're saying, wow, David, you know, David Price came here and got paid a lot of money and look at the scrutiny he's under.
Yeah. I mean, again,
I want to get paid a lot of money and play here. Do I want to deal with that?
Okay. So I'm not telling them again, if he feels that way, he feels that way. I feel for him on the Adam Jones thing. All right.
Sure.
I'm not feeling him on the David Price thing. I'm sorry, man. I mean, JD Drew is another one. When we hated that guy the second he got here. We never gave J.D. Drew a break, even when did they win with him that one
they
year?
They did, like, yeah, they won in 07.
We still hammered the guy and mocked the guy and could not have been, I mean, there's just coverage of plenty of white Red Sox players that came here that we hated day one and hated on the last and gave him a hard time every day in between.
So what was the basis for the hate of Price day one? I mean, look, he
well, wait a minute, Chris.
He stepped in it the whole time he was here. I don't deny that for a second. But the date when it started that first year, before the Eckersley thing and the other stuff, what was the
basis? He was miserable. Miserable.
No, but beyond that, but I don't think there was this hatred for him right out of the gate. I think that that's wrong. Did we tease him about being on Twitter too much? Sure, but I would also tell you that he had an incident with David Ortiz, that they had a back and forth, that he got all pissed off because he thought Ortiz, you know, pimped it on a home run, for lack of a better word. There was an exchange that he had with Tom Verducci, if you remember, on Twitter, and the guy up in Toronto there where he called them all nerds. So, and there was a sensitivity about Price from the beginning. Honestly, I think Price made the poor choice of picking Boston, okay? And not because of the color of his skin, because there's a certain amount of expectation intensity that comes with that contract. And not to mention, by the way, the fact that he sucked in the playoffs. The whole, from the moment he got here, the question was, let's see what he does in October.
And against the Yankees.
Sure.
Right? So, yeah, and then he failed against the Yankees, and so all that stuff started to build.
But I
don't think people went out of their way to bury him the day he showed up. I just think that that's wrong.
Well, no, but if we did, I think all those big money guys get buried if they don't perform early. Gonzalez, you know, again, black, white, or in between. Like, I think all those guys, whether it's Lackey or J.D. Drew or Adrian Gonzalez or David Price or whoever, Daisuke, like, you know, like, weren't you all over Daisuke early as well? It's like, I sort of think the Red Sox bashing on that front, Chris, is kind of equal opportunity, is kind of colorblind. I do.
Yeah, I would just say, and I'm not wholly disagreeing with you, I would just say that the perception of how bad his season was, like a lot of the guys you just named, if you go back and look at the numbers, like his season was portrayed as an abject failure, and it wasn't. Was it what we expected? No. Was he like this unbelievable ace? Was he out there mowing people down like Max Scherzer? No. But for a guy who won 17 games and, you know, led the league in innings, pitch, and starts, to sort of start getting compared to like John Lackey and like Edgar Renteria and these guys that were just complete bust, that was, I thought, a little harsh.
Okay,
and the whole thing was, it doesn't matter what you do in the regular season, it's the playoffs. Except for the next year when it was Sale, it was like no one really gave him any crap for not performing in the playoffs. And he still hasn't performed in the playoffs. He never has.
But I don't think
for whatever reason, he skates on that.
Okay, because I don't think it's a color thing. I don't know what it is, but I'm just saying.
I think it's a personality thing.
I think David Price has this whiny, woe is me, painful personality. And Chris Sale, you're right, it's kind of a badass, but I don't think that that is. But I don't think that's how fans view them. And but I don't think that has anything to do with color on that one. I don't. I mean, and if you know, if well, if one of the reasons Betts left is because we, meaning Boston, was mean to David Price, I'm sorry, I'm out on that. That's a bad reflection on Mookie Betts.
Okay, but again, but regardless of whether we want to battle over it, he perceived it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, right? And fair enough. And look, what was some of the stuff on David Price unfair? Certainly. I mean, you make a good case, Chris. I'm just not sure it's unfair because of the color of his skin. I think it's just he had a personality that wasn't meant for this place.
And Chris, just quickly looking it up, you know, his first seven starts, his ERA was almost seven. So he got
It wasn't a great start. He got off to a bad start, Maz. You're right.
I mean, so that, you know, once that happens, it's like, well, great. We gave you all this money. Now you're going to put up a seven ERA. So that's going to start there. I think it had more to do with how he pitched at the beginning, the fact that he hadn't succeeded in the postseason, and then the whining that he had done on Twitter, whether it be with Verducci or whoever, you know, and the exchange with Ortiz. I mean, he had that whole thing in spring training where he talked about being afraid of facing David Ortiz for the first time, right? Ortiz called him a little bitch, for crying out loud, during that Tampa series. So I think there was some stuff with him before he got here that he might not want to. He just thought it was all going to go away. And you know what? In retrospect, he should have never come here. We all know that.
I think that's fair. I would completely agree with
that. He took the money and he didn't want what came along with it. And that's that part of it's on him.
Okay. Sure. There's Gasper on Betts, Gasper on the Patriots, Garoppolo, that whole stuff right after Big Jim Murray's update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And now, Felger and Mass present another motivational Super Bowl text from Bill Belichick to Jimmy Garoppolo.
yo, fam. High key, thought you killed it last night. 5 exclamation points, fire emoji, hard eyes emoji, poised and professional, and you looking Gucci. Football emoji, devil emoji, got me finna watch your first game versus Cardinals and get all the feels. Eggplant emoji, water emoji, send.
You think Bill's still texting Jimmy? He texted him this week?
Hell yeah.
Before the game?
Hell yeah.
Gonna be good to see your face again.
Sure, he invited him over to the house for dinner.
Gasper, you still think Bill's infatuated with Jimmy Garoppolo? Would he take him back? Is Gasper with us or not?
I think we would.
He is. I think he's frozen.
Okay.
Just have him call.
Of all the day. Yeah, have him call in. Does he have a landline? Or is he one of these millennials that doesn't even have a phone?
No, I bet he doesn't.
You know, like
he's no millennial. He's Gen X.
That means after millennial?
Yes.
So, like, even worse.
He's old, like me.
Oh, no, no. So he's...
You mean before?
Pre-millennial.
Yeah, he's pre-millennial.
Okay. Yeah, but I bet he's tech savvy. He feels young. He presents as young. He presents as a guy that wouldn't have a landline.
No, no. He acts young.
he presents as one of these newfangled kids.
He acts hip, young, and cool.
Who doesn't have a phone. Just uses the internet connection.
So I got to tell you, just as a pet peeve... Was that just him? I don't even know if he's on. That mic he has sucks. I'm sorry. It might be the internet connection in Shea Gasper, for all I know. And I'm sure that that's what they call it because they got to give it the French twist. So Shea Gasper, it might be the internet. But at the end of the day, what do you have a thing dangling from your ears for? Can you invest in a $100 mic at your Best Buy and go get it and pop it into the USB port? You'll be fine. It'll work. Perillo used it, and he's a cheap bastard, too.
$100? I'm a little reluctant. I don't know.
Oh, God, please. Gasper just got a new gig. He's raking it in. Expense it. Make those guys at Channel 5 pay for it. Oh, God, if you're going to do work from home, I can dictate from home. How about that? Okay, good. Yeah, let's get it.
Oh, and he's spitting fire today, too.
I gave him the number. Hopefully, he'll call.
Okay. If he's got a phone, he'll call. We'll see.
I told him I'd give him an extra microphone that I have for the next time this happens.
No, he's going to call from his cell. Let me predict. And the connection's going to suck. Watch. Because he doesn't have a landline. Because he's a cord cutter.
Let me ask you, here, let's do this now while we're waiting for Gasper. Give me the email of the day. Let me get this out of the way, because this is actually good.
It's the Mimecast email of the day!
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Oh, Gasper.
And I think Maz is a boob.
The Mimecast email of the day! Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email of the day is protected by Mimecast, the number one cloud email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Safeguard your organization against phishing and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com. That's Mime, M-I-M-E, M as in Michael. Relentless protection, resilient world. That's Mimecast.com. John writes in, hey, Mike, as a longtime Cleveland Browns fan, I would love to trade Baker Manziel Mayfield to the Patriots for Cam Newton, he says. I didn't like the Mayfield pick when they did it, and I haven't seen anything to change my mind. I know the Patriots like him, wanted to trade up for him at that draft. What do you guys think? John from Waltham. I also got more than one email in the first half of that Thursday night game last night that said, how about Carson Wentz? How would you feel about Carson Wentz? As the Eagles look like they're about to go down to New York, and again, Wentz can't get out of his own way. They come back and win. So I don't know if that was still on the table, but you know, to the point where Wentz is running out in Philadelphia. So let me ask you, here's a little bit of facilitation. Is Gasper back?
Negative.
Chris?
Oh, he is.
Yeah, there he is.
Okay, so listen.
Hello. Can you hear me? I'm on a hard line now.
Okay, well.
So hopefully this works. If not, I'll call in or we can bag it.
It's a little better. We're leaning towards bag. But anyway, okay. Here, you have a choice for the next Patriots quarterback.
Okay.
You guys are always leaning towards bag. You're actually a bunch of bags.
Listen, yeah. All three of these guys could conceivably be available.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Go.
Baker Mayfield. Carson Wentz, and the guy that Chris Gasper said he thinks is ideally suited and his number one choice to replace Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo. Because you did say that on this show.
I did.
I remembered it, Chris. Don't think I would forget that one. Mayfield, Wentz, or Garoppolo?
I'll start. I'll go with Mayfield because of age. There's more upside, and there's less of a durability issue than with those other two hacks. So Mayfield for me.
I go Wentz there. I like Wentz the best of those three.
Over Garoppolo?
I would. I was going to fence ride like a point you would not believe. I was going to say Garoppolo because of his familiarity with the offense and the relationship with Belichick. But if you're asking me who I think is the best raw quarterback in the group, I think it's Wentz.
Gasper?
So best raw quarterback in the group, I think, is Wentz. Best fit for the Patriots. I'm going to stick with what I said before. Garoppolo.
Attaboy.
Belichick loves him. Phil Perry had a great package. He does the number on NBC Sports Boston. He broke down what happens with Jimmy G not throwing deep. He's a dink and dunk passer. That's exactly what the Patriots offense is built for. And he's very accurate with a quick release. And Bill loves him and he knows the system. So, yeah, I mean, I think Jimmy Garoppolo would be the best fit. Let me ask you this, though, on Garoppolo, because I know you guys have a high opinion of him. If I were to say the best fit for the Patriots is Jared Goff, how would you feel?
I don't like Jared Goff.
Me neither.
Really? Because it's the same guy.
No,
it's,
it isn't.
It's like the, it's yeah, it is. It's the difference between Orange Crush and Sunkist. It's Orange Goff and Garoppolo. It's the are the exact same guy.
Well, no, I mean statistically they are, but the way the ball comes out and their throwing motion and the release and I mean, Goff's got this big wind up, and Garoppolo's still got that nice quick release that I think fits what the Patriots would want to do better. So I statistically yes, but watching them, I don't think they're the same guy.
I'll tell you the other thing. Like you were to say, Chris, that both of them throw a decent ball over the middle of the field. I think that that's true. Garoppolo does, and certainly Goff does. But this notion that Garoppolo can't throw outside the numbers or throw down the field and that's what the numbers reflect, I think is wrong. I think it's wrong. I think he can throw out there. Shanahan doesn't let him because he had a bad time of it last year when he was coming off a knee surgery, by the way, but we don't have to go there. In any case.
Bad time of it? He had the lowest quarterback rating in the history of the Super Bowl.
Okay, no. You're talking about the singular game. I'm saying all year he had trouble throwing the ball to the outside last year.
The most important of games.
But in the Super Bowl, we looked at it yesterday. He threw a great ball deep outside the numbers to Kittle at the end of the half that a caller turned us on to that went back because of offensive pass interference. There was nothing wrong with that pass. There was nothing wrong with his arm strength or his ability to drop it in a window.
I could find Brian Hoyer passes that were fantastic too if I cherry pick film.
Yeah, except Garoppolo threw some of those while he was here too.
I just the dichotomy there. You wanting it both ways, Gas. You just want to come in here and bash Jimmy Garoppolo, but then on the same breath say you'd take him over any other quarterback to come in here. Like it's just how do you get away with that one?
He's facilitating.
I mean, like that is.
No,
I mean,
I'm just telling you. I think that he would be. So here's what I think, Felger. I think that your theory. Your Belichick theory, which again I think is very offensive to Tom Brady, this idea that he can win with Brian Hoyer, there would be some truth. There is a baseline of suck quarterback that Belichick can win with, and it's Jimmy Garoppolo. He can win with Garoppolo. You're not wrong. You're just going too far, as you often do. Like if you just kept it to like a halfway believable suck quarterback, then it would work. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like Garoppolo is that guy.
So I don't, and to set the record straight, because I've been accused of this, that I want Brian Hoyer. I don't. I want him for the talk show, Murray. So if Belichick proves he can win with super suck, that means he can win with just small s suck, right? It would just really prove the talk show. But I don't want Bill Belichick to have a good quarterback to win with because I ultimately want the team to win and them to be relevant. So ideally, he's got someone other than Brady who's good, but maybe not all world, and he wins with that guy. I don't need Super Suck, but if he won with Super Suck, then I'm really sitting pretty.
It's a bum. It's a hack. It's Super Suck.
All right, Gasper, your connection just blows, but we're going to do one more quick segment with you because I do want your take on the current state of the Patriots. We'll do it right after this.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Felger and Mads. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We
When he says the word basic, you know, in 2020, Greeny, the worst thing you want to be is basic. You don't want to be a basic chick. You don't want to have on a basic outfit. You don't want to be basic in any way. And that's what these weapons are for the New England Patriots. And, you know, I was starting to listen to Rob talk about what they do when they have to lock down, when they have to go back to the fundamentals of the game. What happens is, see, Bill Belichick has always been the goat herder. And when you're the goat herder, you need some goats. And he don't have the goat anymore. The goat's in Tampa Bay. And so now he's going to have to figure out this thing and get back to the basics he hasn't had to get to in the last two decades. This is different. This isn't the same old thing for Bill Belichick. He doesn't have the weapons on the outside. And he also doesn't have the one person that's galvanized this locker room for the last 20 years. And so even though they know what it used to be like when they lost a couple of games, what it used to be like when they truly had to buckle down and get focused, this team is totally different now. This team is not great on the outside. So I'm looking really forward to watching Bill Belichick have to pull off his greatest coaching job of all time. The greatest coaching job is not winning the 6 Super Bowls. It won't be getting to 9. It'll be getting this team to even be in contention in the AFC East come the end of the season.
So Ryan Clark, always entertaining. He's got a nickname. Belichick's the goat herder. He's a goat herder. Get it? Yeah. Anyway, he doesn't have Brady now to fall back on and save his season. It's all on him. A lot of pressure on him. And Clark said it'll be the best coaching job he's ever done. Gasper, what's your thought on that whole take?
I mean, I don't know if it'll be the best coaching job he's ever done. Obviously, 2001, I mean, he didn't have the GOAT then. Brady was a different type of quarterback. You could even say Brady was, you know, pretty basic at that point. I just think when we have this discussion, and Ryan Clark hit on something that I feel like you miss a lot. Like, you're always talking about what Brady doesn't have now that he's in Tampa and the lack of discipline and the other things that Bill Belichick brings to the table, which are tremendous. But I feel like you neglect the fact that for a long time, Brady was able to cover up Bill's inability to draft and develop wide receivers. And there were a lot of times where they didn't necessarily have the greatest weapons. And because you had the greatest quarterback, he could cover that up and you could get to an AFC championship game like you did in 2006. Now Bill doesn't have that, and I don't care who the quarterback is. I don't care if it's Brady. I don't care if it's Jimmy G. I don't care if it's Cam Newton. I don't care if it's the genetically engineered spawn of Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, and Aaron Rodgers. With these weapons, I mean, it's going to be a challenge. So I just feel like no matter who the quarterback is, they've been set up to fail.
All right, I just can't take your connection anymore, Gasper. Give me 30 seconds to 60 seconds on this week. Who do you like?
That being said, I like the Patriots in this situation. Just,
here you go.
I mean, I don't know if you saw it. Like, Jimmy Ward's out. The 49ers have been decimated by injuries. I think that Bill will be able to crawl into the head of his estranged lover, Jimmy Garoppolo, and they'll be able to get this win. I did want to make this point just quickly because I had mentioned to you in the email chain, Felger, and it's a late developing take I had on Jimmy Garoppolo. Do you know why Belichick loves him the way that he does?
No.
Because Jimmy Garoppolo's success has more to do with Belichick's legacy than Brady's. Brady was a lot, you know, he's a lottery ticket. They found him in the 6th round.
Yeah.
It really, there was even Fapioli said in Education of a Coach, anybody in this building who tells you they knew Tom Brady would be what he's become is a liar. But when you draft a guy and you identify a guy in the 2nd round and you say that's your guy, then you deserve all the credit for that. Brady was a one-off. It's like, you know, a lightning strike. But if Garoppolo's the man, that's all Bill, and he can take credit for the whole thing because he used a second-round pick on that guy, and he identified him from a small school. That's why he likes Garoppolo, because he can't really take credit for Brady, but with Garoppolo, he can take all the credit.
Agreed. Yep. He's take-invested, as I've said all week.
Totally. This is why he doesn't, you know, draft athletes out there on the side to play receiver, because that's what that position is. He'd rather take a guy he can coach up and take the credit.
Chris, thanks for joining us. Thanks for the info.
Don't let him go yet. I have to tell him something before he goes, but go ahead.
Well, now listen. Send him the link to the effing microphone.
No, it's called, listen, Gasper. Listen closely, okay? Because you're sitting in front of your computer right now and you just go on Amazon and get it. It's called the Yeti Blue. It's about 100 crackers. Invest in a real mic instead of that piece of crap you have dangling from your ears right now. Because that's what that thing is. Don't worry, your hair looks great. You can wear some headphones and put a mic in front of you. It's called the Yeti Blue. It's about 100 beans. Here's what you do. You put $50 of it up, and you expense the other to Channel 5 and don't tell them about it.
See you, Chris.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, so when Chris says Brady covered up for Bill and his problem developing receivers and, you know, developing pass catchers over the years, totally true. Except how was that the last couple of years? So that Brady sort of stopped doing that the last couple of years.
Right. You know, and look, no question he stopped. So it was time to go. Like, that part of it was over. But I do think that, you know, maybe it wasn't Bill the coach that made up for Bill the GM. Maybe it was Brady the quarterback.
Yes, sir.
So that's and I think that that's a real thing. I you know, not to mention the fact that I think the other guys in the room, when Brady is there, there's a certain level of he'll get us through it. Now I don't think they know.
Well, let's see. I mean, all this stuff has to play out because, again, just 2-3 weeks ago, we're looking at Julian Edelman with a career day in some respects, yardage-wise anyway. N'Keal Harry, you know, emerging in that game two in Seattle with, a pretty big night. Damir Bird showing signs of life. Newton being talked about as an MVP. And it just 2-3 weeks ago, we're saying, see, blow the old cranky quarterback out of the room, bring some fresh blood in there, have a quarterback show some faith in some of these young guys and new receivers, and you put it back on the tracks. That's the way it looked to all of us a couple weeks ago. Even the Bradyites like Gasper, you know, had to reluctantly say this is the way it looks and feels. And that's been flipped on its ear. So what is it? Can they get it back? I mean, is this going to go back the other way? Because I still think it can. But if it ends the way it looks now, you know, I think the Gasperites and the Murrayites have a lot of ammunition.
Okay, so the one thing I would say is Cam Newton, you know, that comment he made yesterday about how the offense as a whole is running out of excuses in the bucket, I would say really that applies to him. Because Brady was here for 19 years or whatever the hell it was, and in 18 of them as a starter, he missed 19 games or whatever it was. It took this guy 3 games before he missed one. 3 games. So that's part of the deal, too, is that the guys in the locker room look at it and say, he's going to be there on Sunday. Come hell or high water, he will play. He will be there. We can rely on him. He can't miss any more games. He can't. And this includes the foot injury and the shoulder injury and everything else now. So, I don't know that he'll get COVID again because it feels like there's a 3 to 6 month window there. After you get it, you won't get it the second time. But regardless, he can't play badly and he can't miss games. Either one of those things happens, I think he just really hurts his credibility in his locker room.
Okay, a lot of pressure on him, a lot of pressure on Bill, a lot of pressure on this team here the next couple of weeks. So that's one of the items on an agenda-free Friday. All of our bets conversation from this week and Gasper's information we will get to with your phone calls. The Garoppolo conversation, which is, you know, evergreen, which means it just never goes away. It doesn't die in the winter. Doesn't die ever.
Correct.
This week, though, certainly was on the forefront. We did some Celtics trade stuff earlier. We'll do whatever you want. Your calls, I promise, the whole rest of the way. No more bad connections after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.